man who's got it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.
There's our weekly song kicking off the podcast.
It makes me feel good, that song. I
it makes
like
me feel good too. Yeah.
It does. It puts me right in the mood. As soon as we start talking, I love it. I love
Yeah.
that song. Good on Curtis Holland Jr., man.
Thank you, Curtis.
I don't know if you know if we're using your song or not, but I appreciate it just the same.
Serves us well.
So today is March 30th. We're going into April.
Yes.
I feel like I just took down my Christmas tree. I can't believe we're going to April already.
Did you just take down your Christmas tree, or?
Yes, I did. That's probably why I feel that way.
Because I know that you like Christmas. I know you like Christmas, so I feel like it.
Don't be that way. I took it down.
It's great to like Christmas. I'm not saying anything.
I took it down mid-March. Come on.
All right.
I'm crazy, man. I do like Christmas, and I do have a hard time taking down my tree. I started with a fake tree over COVID, which I said I'd never do.
Yeah.
I love it because it holds so many of my ornaments, and I don't want
Yeah.
it down, man. I love it. I tried
Yeah.
to talk my wife into leaving it up all year, taking off the Christmas ornaments,
Yeah.
and like Easter, we have lights that change colors, so put Easter colors on in a few days.
Right, right.
Halloween,
Yeah.
black and golden, orange, and Canada Day, red and white. You know, I thought
Right, right. Yeah.
Fantastic idea.
And then it's, yeah.
A holiday tree, you know.
The holiday tree. Exactly. Our topic today isn't Christmas or Christmas trees or holiday trees.
Yes, it is. I'm changing it right now. We're talking
okay.
Christmas and
trees. We took ours down like January 2nd because the needles were falling off so quickly. It's like, not gotta go. So that was long. But yeah, March 30th, it's freezing rain here, Canada. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get. I was wearing shorts a week ago, 22 degrees and sunny, and now it's freezing rain here, which never good.
Buddy, I left yesterday morning at 7 o'clock to go do training at one of my stores.
Yeah.
Walked out with just my pants on and a shirt, and I thought it was still spring. And
That's
it
good.
was minus 16. And that was a 32 degree change from 2 days before. And I was like, what
Oh, yeah.
the heck is
Yeah.
this?
You just.
Wow. Like they say in Canada, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 seconds. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I hope you're safe and sound up there in your freezing rain.
All good.
Coming here
Okay.
today. Alexa told me this morning that we got some freezer rain coming tomorrow for 14 hours, so we'll see.
Great.
I usually get what you get, you know, 24 hours later. It's kind of
Yeah,
the pattern.
pretty
So,
much.
so this morning we are going to discuss something that I don't have a ton of experience talking about, but I'm excited about talking about reverence.
Reverence.
Can you give me a definition of reverence, sir?
I sure can. Well, as always, there's a few, but I'll give you the basic one first. Reverence is defined as a deep respect for someone or something. Regard or treat with deep respect. And then further to that, what is the true meaning of reverence? Reverence is a feeling of deep respect or awe, like what you have for a president, a hero, or a favorite football player. Reverence can be a feeling of awe, and it can also describe how you treat someone, particularly when used with the word with. To treat someone with reverence is to show them intense respect.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a very neat term. I know in some cultures, reverence was, you know, they would actually use it when someone would like curtsy or bow or show respect, they would say, oh, they're acting with reverence. And it was used towards like members of clergy or when I say a master, I mean like, you know, like if you were a butler or a maid or a servant of some sort, you know. But I think those are old fashioned terms. But yeah, anyway.
They are, yeah, they are for sure. And the reason this one came up, and I recommended this book last week. I recommended The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. The third chapter, I think, is about reverence. And so I was reading it, and I sent you the quote from it, but I'm gonna
Yeah.
read it again because it's profound. It was a profound moment for me. Not that I didn't necessarily know it, but just the way he described it really hit home for me. So he asked the question in the book, "What is reverence?" And he describes it as this: reverence is engaging in a form and a depth of contact with life that is well beyond the shell of form and into essence. Reverence is contact with the essence of each thing and person and plant and bird and animal. It is contact with the interior of its beingness. Even if you cannot sense the interior, it is enough to know that the form, the shell, is merely an outer layer, and that underneath it, the true power and essence of who a person is or what a thing is present. That is what is honored in reverence.
Wow, that is
Powerful, eh?
very powerful. Wow, that goes way beyond what I was thinking about with reverence. That's very cool.
Yeah, and that really just touched it. Like it gives me goosebumps just reading it because it really, I think when you really like reflect on what he's saying there, and you can have reverence in your life, it just means that you're looking at the world in such a way that you're just like, wow, what a place we live in. Like it goes like beyond the earth. It goes like into the cosmos, into the universe, and it's like it's just such. I sent you a picture this morning, like Earth in this tiny dust particle in a sun ray, and it's just like it gives you a feeling of like how small you are, and yet how grand everything is, and how if you can see the beauty in creation and all these things, you're just like you're living in a world of like awe. You're just like, oh my God, like that bird, that praying mantis, that killer whale, that plant, like all these things, you can just have this kind of almost like just childlike
Wonder.
just wonder. Yeah, exactly. And I
Yeah,
think
that's
it's
as you read that, that's what I was thinking. Instead of thinking of something like they said, like a president or some or a sports hero or somebody you'd look,
yeah.
it's everything deserves reverence. And when everything deserves reverence, it gives you a grand appreciation of everything. Everything
Yeah.
amazes you. It's like,
Yeah.
and I think I've been a little more is if I want to say I'm reverent, is that the same term?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
I've been reverent lately of my backyard, and people are
Yeah.
making fun of me a little bit, but I've been feeding. I have three squirrels living in my shed.
Yeah.
I have 30 or 40 doves that come every day for supper. And now I have juncos and I have chickadees, and I asked for my birthday for a bird feeder with a camera on it. And I tell you, and I just got a book called Sibley's Birds of North America. And
Yeah.
all of a sudden,
Yeah.
I've never been a guy that was interested in that stuff, but I
Yeah.
got my binoculars out.
Yeah.
My wife was laughing at me because I said, "Oh, look at these binoculars on Amazon I want. They're this great." And she goes, "Yeah, those are the ones I bought you 3 years ago. They're downstairs." I said, "Oh, even better." Even better.
Perfect.
So she brought them up. But I'll tell you, and my best friend will say, "Oh, Sean, squirrels are rats with fluffy tails." I don't know. No, they're not. No, they're not. I've been watching these squirrels' binoculars. They are beautiful.
Yeah.
They're shelling these sunflower seeds I put out for them. Like, they get little claws and beautiful eyes, and they're colored beautiful. And I'm watching them. And now when I go out, they don't even run from me. They just stay a couple feet away. And I name them. And oh my gosh, man, I do have reverence for these things. I can't believe the how smart they are and how beautiful they are. And I think what's happened is my backyard's come alive after I lost Ava, because Ava ruled the backyard, right? My boy. So she was out there, nothing was out there. And I don't know. I can't believe the life in my backyard. Now we've had the odd deer back there that are amazing and stuff like that, but these little birds, they watch me when I put the feet out. They're up in the trees. They start singing when I come out. They're watching me all the time. And yeah, I am in awe of the nature. I'm lucky enough to live on a green belt, as you know, so I have trees behind me. And I am lucky. I have a whole ecosystem living in my backyard that's incredible. It really is.
And I think to have reverence towards, the beauty of life and the beauty of all creatures is it's just it's I, to for me it's gratifying. It's like it's almost like it leads to it. Yeah, it leads to gratitude and humility for all the creatures on the earth. I mean, you like a lot of people, I'm sure. I think I struggle with how much destruction as human beings we cause on the earth. It's just like, oh my God, like, and yeah, there's like a million pest control companies where if you got a fucking squirrel in your yard, okay, we better fucking kill it. Like, let's let, and with this kind of like, yeah, this sense of beauty and reverence and all this thing comes also like, and which is a great gift, comes also the difficulty to see the kind of destruction that we're
Oh, it's awful.
causing it. And I, you know.
One of the I had two recommendations this week, but I'm gonna talk about one. It's a show on TV called The Americas, and it's Tom Hanks is doing the narrating, and it's a nature show, an old-fashioned nature show. But he's talking about the Americas, so South America, North America. And Chris, it's the beauty is inspiring. It takes my breath away. We were actually crying a couple times watching these animals. Like one example was in Peru, watching this mother bear and her two cubs up on this cliff, and they're these bears that inspired Paddington the Bear. And they, like a lot of animals, have lot are losing their territory because of destruction by man, cutting down rainforest and wrecking things. And then there's this place in Florida where they, on these little islands down by the Keys, where they made these beautiful homes and that. And they've got these little owls living there. They're called burrow owls, and they're about the size of a pop can. But they like them, and they're not destroying them, and they're so cute. And I just, everything in this show, like there's these hummingbirds down in Peru that have never been photographed before. It's so beautiful. And I said to my wife, I was watching, I am getting to a point here that I said, you know what? The only problem this planet has is us.
Oh God, yeah. Everything else would be in harmony and
Oh my,
no
Chris.
question.
Yes, and yes, and some animals eat other animals, but it's the circle of life. Unfortunately, yeah, if you're born at the bottom of the food chain, that's a shame. But man was, I always thought, was somewhere in the middle of the food chain. We were like, and we're, what are we, omnivores, I guess, when you eat everything? But if we didn't develop weapons, it would have been a lot different. But we're at the top of every chain now because we have guns and weapons, missiles and subs and blah, 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 blah. And even now, destruction bothers me so much. I've always been against vandalism. I hate vandalism. At least I can understand robbery. If you're starving, you want food, or if you want something. But vandalism is just destroying something for the hell of it. And when you watch old war films, we were just talking about London, like London and beautiful cities that take centuries to build up, and then someone destroys them in a night. Destruction is just, oh, it breaks my heart. I don't like it. I want to be here as a human being, but I wish we didn't have to destroy so much. I wish we didn't so
So
much.
we both agree we have no reverence for destruction.
We don't. We don't.
Going back to where you started there was the I always loved the David Attenborough, like the specials
Oh,
with, oh,
love
he's
him.
just like just the I
What a
mean, the
voice.
incredible beauty in nature on the earth, and then what a life. I think I could say I have reverence for David Attenborough. I just think he's
Me
an
too.
amazing human being. He's done so much for nature and for understanding of nature.
And
I
I
think
grew up with nature shows. So I used to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon
for
Perkins.
sure. Absolutely. I
That
can't
was
remember if it
his.
was Sunday night, but yeah, definitely. It
He was
was
a
like,
staple. My grandmother and I, we watched that show, So much to the fact that I thought Mutual of Omaha had something to do with nature. It was just a sponsor, but I didn't understand that as a kid. But anyway.
And of course, when I do the research, I do research. Of course, I don't pretend to know everything, so I like to do research on, how do you practice reverence? And of course, one of them, of course, it is, sorry.
Want me to go off on another tirade that has nothing to do with what we're talking about?
No, not at all. No,
Okay,
not at all.
I'm good at
Treat
that.
nature with respect, of course. That's one. Respecting the environment, take care of the earth, minimize waste. Obviously, that is one way to show reverence. I'll go through the list because I think it's great to just, offer insight into how you can practice reverence. Practice mindfulness is the first one. Be present. Whenever I'm go for a hike, or I'm in nature, I'm present with it. I'm not walking with my phone, fucking taking pictures. Like, I'm not saying I don't take pictures, but I get present in that moment, and I observe trees, I observe animals. I like to actually know what tree is what, identifying trees and just appreciating that that thing came from a seed and has grown to, this towering heights. I've been in places in my life. We went to Redwood National Forest when I was a kid.
Jealous.
Oh my God. You
Oh.
want to talk about a feeling of reverence, man? You're looking at these trees that are 120 feet tall, 20 feet around at the base. Like, you're just like, it's just incredible feeling to be in awe and in the presence of that.
Can't you drive through one of those trees or
Yeah,
something?
there's one that you can. We drove through it. Yeah, it has a road. It's that big that you can drive your car
But
through.
yet there's people cutting those trees down and making log homes out of them, you know, like.
Yeah. I
I think
mean,
some of them are protected now, but still.
yeah. Like, when you have like old growth floors in your home, like, there's just something so wrong about that,
Oh,
that
wrong.
we're okay with that.
Oh, Sean, my wife watched a show. It's a famous people that build these beautiful log homes, and then they ship them all over the world, and they're billions of dollars or millions of dollars, whatever. But what they're destroying to make these cabins, it's.
Yeah.
I appreciate the cabin. I get it. I'm jealous, but I don't know.
At
At
what cost,
what
though?
cost? At
At
what
what cost? So yeah, practicing mindfulness, developing gratitude, gratitude for all living things, right? Gratitude for the trees and the plants and the nature and everything. I mean, no plants, no trees, no oxygen. We're all done, right? So, you talk about tearing forest.
Even bumblebees. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
they're struggling. If they don't pollinate the flowers, we're all going to be dead,
Absolutely.
but they're dying.
Einstein, I think maybe, I think, I don't know how many months it would take, but it's within months the entire human species would be gone if there were no bees left. So, yeah.
But we don't seem to be taking it that seriously that they're dying. Like a lot of people think it could be cell phones that are causing it, and they're messing with the radio waves are causing problems with them, or they're not sure what's causing it, but it's
Well,
really.
definitely pesticide use for a long time. We know that was a thing. So, yeah,
Well, they're even talking about how, and not that far in the future, like most of Florida is going to be underwater, and there's been a lot of earthquakes lately, and a lot of people think the big one's going to finally come to California and it could fall into the ocean. And unfortunately, I think it's going to take something major to happen before the people in power really take notice of this stuff. And I don't know why we have to wait till something awful happens, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been a lot more communication about it over the last 50 years. I think the realization of the destructiveness is more prevalent than ever. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. I think, I wonder, I mean, there's been, I don't know, five ice ages. Like, I think that, yes, we are certainly, I know for a fact that we are causing a great deal of destruction to the planet. I think ultimately the planet is just has its say over us. Like, humans at some point will certainly cease to exist on
Yeah,
the earth,
I say
whether,
it all the time. They say, even with nuclear war, it's, oh, it's going to destroy the planet. It's like, no, it won't destroy the planet. It'll destroy us and a lot of living things, but the planet will still be here. It'll be here.
Yeah, up until a point. I mean, Earth eventually will not exist. Like, whatever trillion of years in the future, it will
Oh,
not exist.
the
Like,
sun will burn out and that'll be that. I mean,
yeah, that'll be that. So we won't be around for that. At least not,
but what's
I
the
don't know.
point of anything?
Yeah.
I give up.
You do, eh?
Yeah. Well, I thought about that too. Like we keep things, and even in reverence, the things we hold dear to our hearts, and history books, and monuments, and buildings, and everything. But eventually, it will be gone.
Yeah, it will. So let's make sure that we make the most of our time by being reverent, right? And I think reverence, to me, it's gratitude. It's expressing thanks. It's expressing thanks to a maple tree because I have maple syrup on my pancakes, right?
Now we're talking.
It's expressing thanks for, a beautiful bouquet of flowers that you can give to someone you love to say, "Here, look at this beautiful gift."
And even reverence for the people we're giving the flowers to. I mean,
Absolutely.
I'm lucky enough to still be in love with my wife after 35 years, and I still look at her many times, and I just go, wow. Like, wow,
Yeah,
you're beautiful.
yeah.
Like, I can't believe I get to share my life with someone so beautiful, you know? It's
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Japan before we came on, and we were talking about different things, but I think certainly as a culture, and it's I just don't think it's as present today, at least not in North America, is there's certainly a reverence for their elders. Like they
yes.
have, that's an important part of their community, is revering older people, their knowledge, their wisdom, the things that they've that they've done in their lives. I think that that's not taking the turn for the best. I think certainly in our culture.
No, I mean, it used to be that, you had a family home and everyone lived there, and as the elder people got older, they would die in their home, and then the next generation would move in. And now we stick our old people in a home, and I'm not saying we all do this, but I've had the unfortunate of being in the hospital and being and seeing some homes, and there's a lot of people in there that no one comes to see. They just sitting there by themselves, and not very nice. It's not very nice.
I think
Can't
and
imagine. I can't imagine.
that I think that ties into, I think reverence is part of it is sort of just respect its language, its behavior, and it's speaking kindly to people, it's treating older people with respect, it's even just celebrating an older person's life by asking them, can you give me advice, or I think there's just and in a lot of cultures, it was like very important, certainly in indigenous cultures, because they didn't write anything down. Everything had to be passed on by word of mouth. And it was like a rite of passage to, kind of listen to your elders, learn from your elders.
Oldest person was usually the chief and the wise person they went to, and the shaman and people they respected and talked to. Now we seem to all think we know everything about everything, even when we're 20 years old. I don't know why.
And yeah, everyone goes through that phase, I think, where you think you know everything. You certainly go through that phase when you're in your teens, you kind of start rebelling against your parents, and
Yeah, we
but
all think we know everything. It lasts for a while.
yeah.
You should be snapping out of it soon, though, buddy. It's been a long time for you.
It has. I wish my parents were still here. I
Oh
mean,
God.
it's
I wish your parents were still here too.
yeah. I think and there's something in that, like there's a maybe a bit of regret that maybe I mean I think I practiced reverence towards my parents throughout most of my life. I did always, I looked up to my dad, I looked up to my mom. I think that I don't feel any, sort of guilt about that. But yeah, I think just understanding, the concept of reverence is in and of itself, it is sort of like being humble. It's like, I don't know everything. You know, there's a certain like humility in reverence where it's like, I don't know everything, and I don't pretend to know everything. But what I do know is that, yeah, when, you know, going back to that Zhukov quote, what I do know is that although I can look at something and not know what's inside of it, I know that there is something like that is so incredibly beautiful and powerful that, you know, that's like, to me, it's like a spiritual thing. It's like I see the reverence in these things, and I think, and you know, I take it maybe into kind of a spiritual
Yes.
connotation where it's like, well, there's something going on here that's so much bigger than me, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
That makes sense?
It does. I think that really makes sense. And
Yeah.
a lot of things, you know, I've had that literally happen to me a few times in my life when I all of a sudden felt so insignificant and small compared to what's the world is. And it happened to me the first time I went to Toronto, and all of a sudden a small town guy, and I was like, holy cow, man, like I am just a little part of this world. There's so much people, there's so many people. It was overwhelming to me. And I was downtown and all the big buildings, I'd never seen anything like that before. And I was, it was reverence in a way, because I was like, this is just overwhelming to me. I can't understand. Now, I got to go to a lot more cities as I grew older now, but this is when I was about 19 years old, and I was a small town guy, and I'm still a small town guy. But this summer we all got to see the Northern Lights, and I've seen them as a child, and when I see the Northern Lights, I'm sure it's just some reaction. I have someone explain it to me, it doesn't matter. But it is overwhelming. It's like,
It
what is
is.
going on? Even me and my wife one day saw these two rainbows that were so big and so vibrant. We were just like, we pulled over. It was like,
Double rainbow.
what is going on? Like, this is insanity. And of course, on clear nights when you see all the stars, and you can, and one night, not this summer, we could see Mars so clear, like this little planet, Mars. It's so far away. We had, and then to think that man has figured out a way to put a rover on
I know.
that's
Yeah,
inspiring.
look. I
That's
have
inspiring.
reverence for being able to put a rover on Mars. I
Me
also,
too.
and it's interesting that you bring up Aurora Borealis because it was in, like, when I was looking at, you know, things that are revered. That was one of them. People are like, it's just, and even when you said, like, I felt small, there's something really beautiful in that because when you do, like, minimize yourself and you just realize that you're just this tiny speck in this vast galaxy, like, there's something very reverent about that. It's like, holy shit, like, there's so much going on, and when you can appreciate all those gifts of nature and beauty, you know, the Aurora Borealis was on there, the Grand Canyon was on there,
Sure.
you know, even like things like man-made, like the Great Wall of China or the pyramids, like, you know, I've never seen,
Mount
but
Rushmore blew me away when I saw that.
yeah, I've never, yeah, absolutely. Just the fact that people were like, hey, let's carve these people's faces in this giant rock, that's like pretty.
And
Pretty impressive.
the pyramids, how old the pyramids are. And I know they were probably made by slave labor or whatever. It's all terrible. But to think they built something that big, that impressive, and it's still standing today.
I don't even really think they've figured out how they did it either. It's
No.
like, you know, they've done things like they've tried to move 15,000 blocks, 15,000-pound blocks, like, and they're just like, how on earth did this happen?
It makes no sense. It makes
No.
no sense. And from where you're from, I mean, you know, the rocks that are standing in a formation, the round rocks,
Oh, Stonehenge.
Stonehenge makes no sense to me.
No,
I don't
Easter
get it.
Island makes no sense to me.
No.
You know,
Well,
there's
they're called
things that
the
are.
seven wonders of the world for a reason. Like, you know, all these things. I know, I'm not sure those are in it or not, but I know, like, my wife's going to Paris, and I've always wanted to see the Eiffel Tower. I mean, and I guess this is kind of a point that, yes, there's nature that I think is beautiful and needs to be revered, but there's man-made things that are beautiful and need to be revered.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree and
And
celebrated.
I love nature. I love, but I am not a guy that wants to live in a tent either. Like I like my comforts. Like I like being in my home. Like I don't want, I don't, I'm not a guy that's gonna live out in the woods in a cabin and shoot my own food and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've always revered architecture. It's been always kind of part of my life. I think a lot of people do, especially when you go to Europe. You're just walk. I mean, I've been to Paris. It's incredibly beautiful. You're walking down the streets, just going, "Oh my God!" Like, that building's 700 years old. It is so incredibly beautiful. The stonework, like, I have a great deal of reverence for artists and architects and stonemasons and people that build things with their hands, and just the natural beauty of architecture. It's incredible. The Eiffel Tower is incredible. I will never forget the moment when we turned down this street, and there it was down this, down this beautiful road, and there it was, the Eiffel Tower. It was like, oh my God, there's the Eiffel Tower. You're just like, wow.
It's got to be incredible. And even in our own country, the first time I went to the CN Tower, I'm not saying it's a beautiful structure, but when I was up there looking out that down that glass floor, and there was a CFL team playing down below, and they looked like ants, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Who could dream of this stuff? Like, I that's what's always impressed me. I've said this before in the podcast. I wanted to be an architect growing up, and but just the fact that they can build stuff like the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, the Confederation Bridge. It's a 13-mile bridge or a 13-kilometer bridge to Prince Edward Island. I mean, it doesn't make sense to have just the scope to think I can build this and then to go to build it. It's unreal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what we're talking about here is, the reverence of, not the industrious mind, but just the creativity that I have a great deal of reverence for the human mind, for like, just as if I want to start at one point, like, it's what humans have created is incredible.
They sent a man to the moon in the 60s.
Yeah.
Think about that. In the
I know.
60s, they figured out how to put a man on the moon and bring him back. And I know that's why to this day we all still say stuff like, well, they can put a man on the moon, but they can't do this, but it was an incredible feat. And then I have reverence for, and I know we're all over the place today, but that's kind of the point of this podcast, because I have reverence when I bake a loaf of bread and it comes out perfect. And
100%, man. I
smells
mean,
perfect. And it's just like, oh my goodness, look at this thing. It's incredible.
well. Yeah, I mean, look, I was making sourdough for bread for a while. I mean, anybody who's made sourdough has reverence for making sourdough, because it
Yes,
is fucking hard, man.
it
Like,
is.
and everything has to come together. And,
I
yeah,
have
I mean, we're all over the
never
place, I think, oftentimes, and maybe this is a fault, or I don't know, but maybe it's good. We just launch into this, and we just kind of, like, we're figuring it out while it goes. Like,
But
hopefully
reverence is, but I
we
think
don't
that's
get
perfect for
sidetracked,
today
but.
because reverence is everything. You started by saying that. It's literally having reverence for everything.
It's certainly
I have reverence
everything
for
good, I
food.
guess, or yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because yes,
I guess everything, I don't know.
destructive things can be impressive. I mean, a nuclear bomb is impressive, but I don't have reverence for it. It's
No, it's
awful.
destructive.
There's a
It's not
different word
serving
for
anything
that.
good.
But I know there was probably a lot of soldiers that got to go home that were happy that the bombs got dropped because they didn't have to go invade Japan. So I'm sure there was, there's always a point of view, but that's a different podcast. But I have reverence for a great song, a great
Oh
movie.
my God, I was just gonna say that. Music. I have a great deal of reverence for art musicians. I'm a god, like, I love music, and I listen to some songs, and I'm just like, man, like, this is amazing. The lyrics, the vocal, like, the vocals,
Unbelievable.
the supporting music, like, it's just, I have great deal of respect and reverence for musicians. Like, it is just amazing, the things that we've created, and art. I mean, just like, whenever I go to a gallery and I look at the details of, whoever, whether it's Monet or Picasso or, Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel, it's just like, I just think it's incredible. Like, it's just it like it just.
Andy Warhol. I mean, there's all kind, and I even learned. I used to think that, like, is it Jackson Pollock? Is that his name? I used to think that was a joke. I think I can do this, but then I got to see one or two that they really inspired me. I don't know what blew my mind. And they should.
If
But they
you're, yeah,
do.
that is a great example of like, oh, I think I can do this. Okay, well, let's see you try and let's see how that turns out, right?
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Look, see that? Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's true. Art in all forms. I mean, there's movies that I watch that when I'm done, I'm sitting there like just beside myself, like what is that? Like how can that be?
Yeah.
Even the art of making a movie. Do you know how hard it is to get a movie made, let alone a good movie made?
The cinematography, the scenery, the
The editing.
dialogue, the people in it. It's like I mean, yeah, when you it's just it's amazing when you can really appreciate the true value and gifts that reverence provides. It's like, yeah, you're just always in awe, and it's a wonderful feeling to feel like that. It makes you feel like you're 8 or 9 years old again, and you're just like you're seeing the world. It's like, oh my God, look at that tree. Oh, there's a dog. Oh my God, there's a squirrel eating a nut. It makes me feel good.
It does. I remember being at the movie theater the first time and watching Indiana Jones, and that giant ball was rolling down. And he was
Oh my God, I love that scene.
like, "What is going on?" Or when I was like 7 or 8 and watching the big Star Wars ship go over my head for the first time, and it was like,
Oh
"What
yeah.
going on here? Like, this is blowing my mind."
Gives
And
me goosebumps.
it's inspired me to this day. I still
Yeah.
love Star Wars.
Yeah.
And another
Yeah.
one, another big movie moment for me was Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, they've made dinosaurs. I think they've actually done it. They look
I
so
know.
real. Like,
Yeah.
what is going on? And
Yeah.
when I'm talking about how this isn't a podcast about how movies are made, but they were trying to use puppets, like, slow motion claymation and stuff for that because they thought the technology people couldn't do it. And this guy working in technology department, he set up a video loop of him making the Raptors run. And he knew that the producers were coming in, like Kathleen Kennedy and Spielberg, and he was playing it as they were walking by, and they literally turned their head and went like, "What's that you're working on?" Because someone
Right.
was trying to shut him down. He goes, "Well, look," and they were like, "Yes, that's what we're doing. That's it. You
Yeah.
got it."
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't know. I mean,
Yeah.
Forrest Gump blew me away. I mean, I can go on and on. It's not a movie podcast,
Yeah.
I know, but
Yeah.
there's movies
No,
that
I'm
have inspired me, and I do have reverence for them, and I have reverence
Yeah.
for the people making them, and to some of the actors. There's actors I have reverence for because
For sure.
they've made me cry. They've made me laugh. I mean,
Absolutely.
it's unbelievable, and it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think we should we'll touch on maybe a few people that we have reverence for like in the history, but I'm going to go back down the list of I just typed in what are things that people should revere. So it's kind of a little summary and it works well. Life itself is number one, right? I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer.
It
Like
is.
gift of life, human, animal or plant, it's obviously
Sure.
revered. Nature and the environment. We've already kind of touched on that. The elderly and wisdom. That's pretty obvious. We
We
touched on
touched
that.
on that.
Family and loved ones.
Yeah, we've touched on that.
Sacred texts and spiritual teachings. That's obviously the concept of truth. Intellectual truths like scientific discoveries, moral truths about right and wrong, personal truths about understanding oneself, reverence towards love and compassion. Human dignity and rights, art and creativity, education and knowledge, health and well-being. That's a whole category in itself. People that like live long lives and are incredibly healthy and sacred or divine. Reverence is often directed toward a higher power, such as God. That's obviously peace and harmony. We can have reverence towards that. Creatures and animals, traditions and cultures. And we touched on this last one, the arts of craftsmanship and creation.
Absolutely.
There are many examples of.
Well, I'm impressed with you and I that we touched on so many of that without even reading that list. I mean, I think we kind of get reverence. And this podcast is about teaching ourselves and other people.
Yeah,
I always
absolutely.
try to remember that because I didn't come on today th not thinking I was an expert on reverence.
No,
I find
no.
after I discuss it with you,
Yeah.
I always come out a little better. I have reverence for you because I know every time we do a podcast, I come out a little wiser, a little smarter, a little thinking about things a little different. It's important.
Yeah, it is. I have reverence for you too. I have reverence for, because we know each other, we've been so close, we've gone through a lot of things together. I have reverence for you for the things that you've struggled with and the things that you've overcome. That's an easy one,
Thanks.
right? When I thought about people that I revere, I mean, we often talk about the same people, but I think most people would agree, Nelson Mandela, of course, is on the list. Gandhi's on the list.
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Mother
Absolutely.
Teresa, the Dalai
Yeah.
Lama. I mean, there are a lot of, I think, I don't know, I didn't, I don't know whether, I mean, it's certainly a topic for discussion. Like, do you think reverence, do you think there's levels of reverence? Like, okay, I kind of revere that guy, but I really revere that guy. Like,
I think there's levels, and I think it depends on who you are, where you came from, what your culture is. I know there's cultures in India and China that and Japan that they have reverence for a lot different things than I have reverence for. And
Absolutely.
I know we may not agree on people. And then there's people that are revered through the years that lose the reverence. Like Christopher Columbus was a hero for so long, and then he became a not a hero. I mean,
Yeah,
there's
well,
still people that love him. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people
yeah.
don't, because and reverence, when you get into historic reverence, it gets a little cloudy
It
because
does,
a lot of people have reverence for George Washington, and I think he deserves that. He started a country. I mean, they came over from England and they fought, and which wasn't good, but they did, and they dug and they suffered and they built a country and they fought the British and they did what they thought was right to be free. But he was also a slave owner, and there was bad things he did as well. But
I mean, Christopher
it's
Columbus, case
hard.
in point. Yeah, you could easily argue, there's an argument for him being, heroic in his in what he was doing, but also a total villain in the fact that, they came here and they enslaved and murdered
Absolutely.
indigenous people. Like,
Awful.
you can't deny that at this point. It
But things
happened,
have changed
so.
so much. Like, as it growing up, it was so black and white the way we were brought up, because it was like we were the good guys, like, and everyone else was the bad guys. And even as the explorers did that, they would get to these countries and colonize them. That was such a nice word, colonize. And they would run India and they'd run the Caribbean and they would fight over islands and they would take things that weren't theirs, but they had guns. They had more power, right? But I was brought up like the cowboys were the good guys and the Indians were the bad guys. I mean, but that's not blood. That's
Definitely
not the way
not.
it was. But
No.
that's but as a white man watching movies my people made, that's the way I thought things were. Now
Yeah,
I don't think that anymore. The world been opened up in my eyes, and I've tried to figure things out. But fuck, it's complicated, man.
it
It's
is, it is, and
complicated.
yeah, things are black and white until they're not, and most things at the end of the day really aren't black and white, I guess.
I don't think
And
anything is. I think everything's gray. I
you
really
gotta
do.
look beyond, you gotta look beyond it, and at least as a society, we have, since for whatever, a long time now, many, many decades, we're looking beyond just this celebration of certain things to see what really happened, and identifying that is it's difficult. There's difficult conversations around it, and but difficulty, struggle like that causes change, and that's
And
that's how we can sort of,
history is written by the victor, unfortunately. So you see things a certain way. But I guess from a personal point of view, me, Sean Pauley, where I get lost and I don't understand things is I personally, and I'm not trying to sound like, oh, what a good guy I am, because I don't think that, but I can't hurt people. I can't imagine beating someone up because they were gay or I had the power to take over a village because I had guns, just shoot whoever I wanted and rape people and take what I wanted and hurt people. And even today, watching like Russia try to take over Czechoslovakia and hurting or sorry, the Ukraine,
Ukraine.
hurting people and doing things and what Donald Trump's doing and deporting people. Yeah, okay, maybe they're here illegally, but I mean, come on, man, they're people. People. And I just can't. I could not do it, Chris. I could not do it. I
Right.
have a hard time killing a bug. I could, and I can't fight.
Yeah.
I can't shoot an animal because I look at an animal as they're standing there. You imagine what an animal, they're born, they somehow figure out how to survive in the wilderness through cold and winters and finding food and living. And you see them after all these years of what they're doing, and they're beautiful. And you decide, I better put a bullet through their brain so I can go, look what I did. Like,
Yeah,
what?
so I can have a cheeseburger, and yeah, there's a lot of moral issues in that, right? Like,
But I like cheeseburgers.
I do too, and so you know, there's difficulty in that. I mean, we can argue, oh well, we raise cows now because we need food, and of course we do, but there is, yeah, there's something troubling about that. I looked up because I said about, you know, examples of different levels of reverence. And well, in this, there's five, sorry, superficial reverence. So here's the example: saying a prayer before a meal, but not reflecting on the deeper meaning of gratitude.
Interesting.
So, like, I say the prayer, but I'm not really meaning it. I'm kind of
Right.
like, conditional reverence. So that's a person who shows reverence for elders, but they only show it during family gathers, and they don't show it consistently. And
Right.
they don't show consistent respect for their wisdom in their daily life,
Right.
right? Then there's consistent reverence, where you practice, someone who practices regular meditation or mindfulness, showing reverence for their own mind and body,
Interesting.
and I guess all other beings. And then there's deep reverence. A person who lives by their spiritual beliefs, making decisions based on reverence for life, love, and compassion, even when it's difficult. So, by your example, then it's like, well, I do love cheeseburgers, but I'm not going to eat them anymore because I don't want cows to get murdered because of me.
No, I have never done that. I still eat cheeseburgers.
And
But
well,
I'm a
then you
wimp.
have to question whether you have deep reverence about cows or
I
not.
don't. I've always said if my meat didn't come in a nice cellophane package wrapped in plastic, I wouldn't eat meat. If someone
Right.
said, "Here's your meat, here's a cow," I'd be, "Well, I have a pet cow now, and I'm going to eat vegetables because I'm not going to
Yeah.
eat that fucking cow." It's awful. And you know what? But that by that same example, maybe I
Yeah.
could have reverence for the butchers in the world and the people that do kill the cows, that because I don't have the courage to do it myself, you know, like.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then the last one on this list is transcendent reverence. So that's a mystic or spiritual seeker who experiences a constant, all-encompassing reverence for life, nature, and the divine, seeing every moment as sacred and interconnected. That's the next level right there.
Every moment. Wow.
Can
Wow.
you imagine? If you lived every moment in reverence, I feel like you would be in a total state of euphoria and peace,
Well, I think the Dalai Lama does. I think he's close.
which is pretty incredible if you
It
can
is.
imagine that.
He's been driven from his country. Some of the Tibet monks they've gone through torture and they've lost everything, and there's still gratitude, they're still thankful, they don't have anger. Like, how do you get to that level? It's
Well, we've talked about
incredible.
it on previous podcasts. It's like, yeah, that's enlightenment, right?
It
That's
is.
when you're just like, you're everything. Yeah, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the definition. Transcendent reverence refers to the highest form of reverence, one that goes beyond the individual self and extends to an experience of unity with the universe, the divine, or a higher truth. It is characterized by a profound, all-encompassing respect and awe that transcends ordinary understanding or attachment. This form of reverence is not just a practice or a belief, but a deep lived experience that profoundly shapes one's perception of life and existence.
Even hearing it goes over my head. It's incredible.
It is.
You said something a second ago about reverence for yourself, and I realized that I haven't had reverence for myself. I did not take care of myself. I've said this before, And now I sit here with a foot that's been operated on three times. I went through my strokes. I have a hole in my other foot that won't seem to heal. I'm going through all kinds of health problems. But then I look at people that I have reverence for, humans that are, physically beautiful. I'll see a beautiful woman and I'm just like in awe. And I'll see a beautiful man and I've been in awe. Like, I'm going to sound weird here. I'm a straight man, but I look at Brad Pitt and I think he's beautiful. I think I do. I think he's beautiful. I think, my goodness, that man is taking such good care of himself. And that's just superficial. That's
So
superficial.
superficial. I mean, you glad you said it, because it is. I mean,
It is.
again, if we go back to the original quote from Gary Zukav, like, that's just a shell, right? Really, what we should be concentrating on is the inner, because I think at the end of the day, every human being has a soul, and that inner beauty is like
Absolutely.
that is the, the reverence. And
And
so,
to that
but
point,
of course.
I know people that I think are beautiful. They are beautiful physically, but even some that maybe aren't as what traditionally think is beautiful, but they are such beautiful people. They
A
smile
hundred percent,
at
of
me. They
course, of
smile and
course.
they light up the room, and you meet them. And when I leave them, they've made me feel so much better about myself because they're such great people. I know people like that, and I have reverence for those people because they're wonderful people.
Well, and it's good that you touched on personal reverence, because I think it's obviously very important, right? Your sense of self-worth, like, I don't know if I'm going to make the same that it depends on it, but it is, I think, highly important to offer yourself. We've had a podcast on self-love. It is highly important to have some reverence for yourself. I don't think there's anything selfish about that, in saying that, because to say that, yeah, okay, I've made it through 56 years. I've had highs and lows. I've been through tough times. I've been through great times. I've seen amazing places. And here I am today doing a podcast with my friend on reverence, to try to just spread the word and talk about it. I have reverence for myself for doing all those things.
I think you should. I think
I
you should.
don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You've accomplished a lot. You've touched a lot of people's lives. You're a good guy. I worry about, I'm not looking, I say this a lot, and I know people listening to this podcast are going, here he goes again. But I'm starting to get scared that I will never have self-worth because I've been trying so hard for so long and I can't seem to get there. And I don't know how to get there. I don't know. I try to do the things even you tell me to do, and I can't find it. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that much to talk about today. It's not what we're.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about certain practices that I think we know are true. Journaling, self-reflection, meditation, mindfulness, positive affirmations, all going to be forms of ways that you can, improve that feeling about yourself. I texted you this week, as I do, because I come across things and I read them and I think, ah, oh, this will be good for Sean. The one was, just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure, right?
Yes, I like that one.
The courage that it takes to fail and then not define yourself as a failure is much greater than the courage it takes to just beat yourself up. Like, that's, as well as I do, that beating yourself up over the past, you can never change it. So that, you can do it, but it's all just about, kind of your inner voice. Like, you can change who you are. I mean, that saying, an old dog, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, I think that's fucking bullshit, frankly. You can teach an old dog new tricks if you want to,
I
but
agree.
it takes time. And it's a daily commitment. I started journaling again. I like the act of writing. I like writing. I like actually writing in cursive.
Yes, Ben.
I don't know, there's something artistic about it that I enjoy. It my hand hurts. You don't do a lot of writing these days, but I've
I
started to do it. But then sometimes I flip-flop back and forth, and I have a journaling app on my phone as well. I read, you go back and you read, oh yeah, that day wasn't great, or oh, that day was good. And I think it just, when you start stacking up, I'll get, when you start stacking up Legos, eventually you have a fucking skyscraper. When you If they're just scattered all over the ground and you don't pick them up and start stacking them up, like you're just not, you know, it's not building. And I think it, yeah, it takes commitment to commit to yourself, right?
You're absolutely right. You're
It
absolutely
does. It's work, and it's easy to just stick into a routine and well, this is working and I'm comfortable here, but yeah, at times you got to get out of your comfort zone. And we've talked about, we've talked about therapy and different things. I think again, talking about these things is important. Talking about reverence, talking about things that we revere. It just, yeah, it makes me feel good to talk about it. And I feel good about myself in doing it. So,
I think I do too. I like that. I like
right.
it.
So,
So I know we're gonna have to wrap up soon. Do you want to list a couple people that we have reverence for, famous or not? Is it could you?
yeah, well, it's funny, it's funny, of course, that I think what was one of the first few quotes or the first few definitions, I think it was on my phone, but one of them said football players.
For sure.
And I have a hard time putting like Joe Namath in the same category as the Dalai Lama. That just doesn't add up for me, right?
Yeah, the Dalai Lama's
But I
not.
think I, of course, I have reverence for a great many people. I think that there have been a great many people in the
There's room
world,
for
and
that.
so
That's okay. There's space for that.
yeah, I think when I asked about levels of reverence. Yeah, I think I have reverence for athletes, a lot of them. I think that to have the dedication to a thing, to a sport or whatever, and to train every day and to like work hard and get to a level, I have a great deal of reverence. If we're gonna just talk athletes, I think one of my favorite athletes of all time has to be Roger Federer.
Absolutely.
The guy is just like, not only is he probably, I think he is, no, I'm not even going to say, he is the greatest tennis player, male tennis player ever.
No question. No question.
But it's not just about his tennis skills. He's just a great fucking guy. Like, you
I
can
know.
tell he lives a life of
Simplicity, gratitude.
gratitude, I would say he does for sure. I just think he's
He didn't
just
even
an
spend
honorable person. I feel like he could walk
his
in the room
money.
and you could have a normal conversation with him and he would just be an amazing guy.
And he didn't even spend as money as he was making it. He said, yeah, I'll get there, whatever. Like he was just and I remember watching like when he was older and should not have been competitive. And I watch him be down like two sets and he come back and win. Like he just was he'd
Yeah.
never give up. He would just
Yeah.
wear them down. He's amazing. And my son got me into Roger Federer and I agree. I think the man is incredible.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's an example. I have reverence for people that I don't know, people that survive against great odds and just keep on going. I have reverence for any number of people that have done that. I've talked about this on many other podcasts. I have reverence for some reason for mountain climbers. I don't know why, but I just think, man, if you're like willing to like climb a mountain like as Everest and like, I don't know, I've read a number of books on it, so that's
It's
certainly a thing.
to me, it's insanity. I couldn't climb a mountain for my life, but I don't know why you would do it. But they say, why do you do it? And say, well, because it's there. I mean, it's incredible.
I have reverence for a great many artists, architects, musicians. I think it's hard for me. I mean, we touched on them already. The Dalai Lama, of course, Nelson Mandela, like they're heroes to me.
But you were
Heroes.
saying, and you're right, I agree, but you were saying that you can't compare what like a football player to the Dalai Lama and that. But then I look back here, I've got Troy Polamalu's helmet here. I don't have anything here from Dalai Lama, you know? Like I love Troy Polamalu,
Look, I
super player.
again, great human being, no question about it.
And then you think of like I have a lot of reverence for Paul McCartney. I mean, and John Lennon. I the day
Oh,
John Lennon died.
100% John Lennon.
Destroyed me. I love John Lennon. And then I was always more of a Beatles guy than a Stones guy. But then when you watch the Stones at how old they are and they're still performing, They can, and they don't need the money. They don't need the fame. They don't need any of it, but they still like to go out there and do it because they can. And I think they have appreciation for the fact that they can. Because I remember like you look at bands like, I'll pick one, Oasis. I love Oasis. And I think they finally got back together. They swore they wouldn't. But, or when Guns N' Roses broke up for 20 years, or the Eagles broke up. And I was always like, that would give me anger because I think you guys have the ability to go out in front of thousands of people and play music, and if people sing your songs and cheer and live such a great life, that's a dream. I used to dream of walking onto a stage like David Lee Roth of the Van Halen and people screaming for you. And I'm thinking, you can do this, but you're not. You're not doing it just because you're not getting along. Fuck, not getting along. So don't get along. Go out on the fucking stage and play, and then go your separate ways. I don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Rock and
But
roll,
who
man.
knows what's
Do
going on
it.
with them? I don't know.
But I think Oasis is getting back together, or did get back
Yeah,
together.
look, I mean, the music that they produce, I have reverence for that. That the individuals, I mean, I don't know them personally, but they, I'm not
Yeah,
like so keen on those anyway, but that's
I'm
irrelevant.
not, but I also know every time I listen to Wonderwall, it blows my mind. You know, I love that song. It got me through some of my recovery on addiction. I mean, song means a lot to me, but I know maybe they're a bit egotistical. They're maybe not the best guys in the world, but I don't know. It's, and then there's a, I think the last thing I'll say is human beings are a funny one because I used to use the tattoo thing as I always said I would never get a tattoo of a human being on myself because you'd never know unless you know them personally. Like, yeah, I could put mom on or something. But you imagine if you were younger and you'd have put a tattoo of O.J. Simpson or Bill Cosby or, you know, like people, if you don't know them, you might not know them, you know?
No, it's true.
And
It's true.
people can let you down, unfortunately. But you know, I think it goes back to what we were saying, how it changes. Reverence can change. Our opinions can change. And nowadays we're living in a time where we know everything about everybody, you know.
We think, but yeah,
Well,
okay.
we think. I mean, we know a lot more. I mean, when I was a kid, if I wanted to know something about a band, I would have to buy like a Hit Parade magazine and read something about them, you know, like you can just Google everything in the world about them, you know. So the information we have now, I don't know if it's good or bad. We should do a podcast on how the internet destroyed the world, you know, like I don't know.
Oh man, there's so many AI things coming up on some feeds now. I'm not even sure if it's real or fake, and it's
I
like,
don't
wow, you
know.
really got to decipher things now.
I'm telling you, I saw an AI thing, and I don't search for anything like that. I'm not interested, but I saw an AI thing pop up, and it was Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt dancing. They were kind of dressed in sexy clothes, and they were dancing like this. And I thought, oh, this must be back from they were a couple or something. Like, what is this? And then I finally realized it was an AI. And buddy, it didn't look like
Real.
AI.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, what is going on? AI is scary. And have you seen the new Gemini AI that's on the new Google phones?
I haven't seen it, but I know that it exists.
It's like when I talk to, if I say to, hey, Alexa or hey, Google, they answer me. Gemini talks to you like they're your friend. Like you say, hey, can you help me kill the spider? Let me see the spider. Oh, okay. This is what you, and like, what the
Sorry.
hell? Like,
Started,
my
eh?
phones answer me because I say, hey, Google. Sorry. You know, and my wife gets mad because when she talks to Alexa, it answers her. But when I say Alexa, she goes, oh, hello, Sean. Like it knows my name, it knows my voice and not hers. So I asked Alexa the other day, I said, hey, Alexa, I love you. And she says, well, I'm not capable of loving you the way Bryan Adams might be.
Wow, okay. That's different.
What that means is Bryan Adams the big example of loving somebody? I don't know.
Not sure. Not sure.
Anyway, I think that it was a wild podcast. I think we went all over the place, but it was suitable for what we were talking about. I think reverence is not something you can sit there and just go, oh, this is what reverence is, and this is who should be revered. No, I think reverence is about everything, and I think there's so many different layers and examples and ways. I think we did a good job. I think
I'm gonna
summarize, my friend.
I'm going to summarize the best practices of reverence.
Do it.
Number one, Listen deeply and mindfully. Number two, show gratitude regularly. Number three, honor traditions and rituals. Number four, treat nature with respect. I don't think I need to do the numbers. Be present in your actions. Be humble and open-minded. Mind your language and behavior. Create sacred spaces. Practice forgiveness. Cultivate patience. Serve others. Mind your consumption and honor the sacredness of life.
Beautiful.
Write those down and do that every day.
You know what? I'm going to go back and write those down and try. I like a couple of those I never even thought about before, like creating the sacred space and that's interesting. I like that. And we were kind of discussing something like that before we started the podcast today, so yeah.
Well, it says under that one, it says whether it's dedicated time for reflection or a physical space, creating environments that invite peace and respect can nurture a sense of reverence. Then it goes on to say you can set up a small altar or a quiet corner for meditation, or simply designate a spot where you can pause and reflect on things that matter most to you.
I'm going to do that. I mean that. I'm going to do that. We were talking about that earlier, and we're going to talk about it more next week. But I'm dealing with this. I'm struggling with a little bit of that, and I need something like that. I need.
I mean, I have in the morning I do my meditation in the morning. I just have a yoga mat and a pillow that I use every morning, and we have a pretty open space on the rug, but I use the TV with the call map, and it's a sacred space for me for sure. When I look at the floor and look at that spot, I'm like, yeah, that's my meditation spot. So yeah, it's nice for sure. It makes sense, and it's kind of a peaceful spot for me. So
Awesome. That's really cool. You know, and again, I've mentioned this before. I think I have reverence for people that create technology. I mean, I say the internet bothers me, but I'm sitting here talking to my friend in Tottenham. It's amazing. It's amazing. We could
For
never have done
sure.
this. I mean, it's incredible. So, well, listen, I got reverence for you, my friend. Thanks for
I have
spending
reverence for
time
you
with me.
too.
I appreciate you taking time out of your life to spend it with me. I really do. So,
I'm grateful for you and I'm happy to do it.
all right. Well, I will, I mean, I'll be talking to you, but I'll see you next week for the podcast. We have a good subject coming up. Oh, I always forget, but I wanted to recommend this. I've been doing some writing lately, working on my, I got a couple of things I work on, been working on for years, but one is my autobiography, it's
You're
kind of,
recommending your autobiography?
yeah, no, it's the story of my life, but this book has helped me with my writing. It's called The Writer's Devotional.
Oh, cool.
And it gives a, you can't read it, but it's,
Amy Peters? No, I can read it.
yeah, Amy Peters is 365 inspirational exercises, ideas, and tips and motivations on writing. And it just kind of gives me ideas on how to do things, and it keeps me kind of moving along and gives me ideas. It was a gift years ago from my wife, and it is a fantastic book.
That's
So,
great.
yeah,
Is
anybody
it so
writing.
the is it set up so like if you started January 1st, you just go like it's one day at a time or
It's a what it, you could I try to do it one at a time. It's not set up that one, but it says week one, week two, week three, kind of.
because it's 365, so
Yeah,
kind of
like like here Friday biography, Saturday books to read, writers on writing prompt. It's a very cool book, very cool
awesome.
by Amy Peters. So I do want
Well,
to recommend that.
I'm going to recommend the same book 2 weeks in a row because we talked about it today. So again, it's The Seat of the Soul, Gary Zukav. Great book, very impactful, and talks about reverence and really just a self-searching kind of spiritual book. It's really profound.
Well, I haven't got that one yet, but I'm going to put it onto my Kindle and check it out for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Well, enjoy your week.
Yeah, you too.
I'm sure we'll
Enjoy
be in
your
touch.
Sunday.
All right. Love you, man.
Treat all life with dignity and appreciation.
I will do that.
Love you too.
Always alone. looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.
See you, brother.
See you, man. Take care.
You too.